Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time by the grace of God. We thank the Lord for 18 years now. We have been bringing these radio broadcasts to you, and we thank the Lord for this day. It's a day that He's made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Today we're going to be talking about Jesus Christ, the light of the world, the light that has come into the world. And so this will be the final message for the year 2023, and we look forward to crossing over into 2024. And we think about Jesus as He had come to this earth to minister to us, to go to the cross, to take our sin upon Himself and go to the cross, shed His precious blood for us. And so we're very thankful for our Lord and Savior. So if you have your Bible there today, turn it to John chapter 1, and we'll start in verse 1 here in just a minute. Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. We thank the Lord for this day. Before we get into the message, just want to give a brief update on what's going on in the ministry. We had a great Christmas service. We had Acacia on Christmas Eve, went till past midnight, and then the next day, 9 a.m., we started again with another service, and we had a great Christmas Day service, passed out treats and food commodities to the people, passed out rice and sugar and wheat flour, and so people were blessed, we were blessed. It's always a great opportunity to get together with the people of Macunda and share what the blessings that have come into this ministry, share those blessings with them in the way of food commodities and give people something to cook with, something to eat on that day. There are people in Macunda who don't have food in their house and they just live day to day hoping some money will come into their hand and they will be able to buy food. And then yesterday we had a funeral. One of the church members was involved in a tragic situation, and so we had to provide for that funeral. It's a very poor family, and so we had to provide for that funeral, but it gave us an opportunity to preach to the village, preach to the people that came, the family of the deceased, as well as friends and other people in Macunda, some who just come to eat, some come just for the food at funerals. And so it gives you an opportunity to preach to them and tell them about Jesus and eternal life and the decision that they have to make. So the children are getting ready to go back to school. They'll go next week after the new year starts. And we have about 20, 25 children now in school, different places, about four or five different schools. And so that's an opportunity also to share the love of Jesus with these abandoned and orphaned children. Some of them have families at home in their home village, but they just don't have money to send them to school or to take care of them. And so we end up with these children. So be praying for the children as we start the new school year. Today we're going to be talking about Jesus Christ, the light of the world. And what a great subject this is. Jesus said many things about Himself, made statements about Himself. One of the statements He made was that He is the light of the world. We'll look at that here in just a minute. John chapter 8, we'll go to that. But right now we're going to start in John chapter 1. And this is a description of Jesus Christ as He is the light of the world and what it was said about Him by the Holy Spirit to the Apostle John in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so I'm reading from the New King James Version here. The Word is capitalized. In the beginning was the Word, and so the Word is another name for Jesus Christ. The Word is another word for Jesus Christ. And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so at no time was Jesus not with God. At no time did Jesus not exist. At no time was there any thing created when Jesus wasn't there to create it. And it says, he was in the beginning, verse 2, he was in the beginning with God. And so Jesus Christ is the Word. When you read the Word, that is the Scripture, the Holy Bible, when you read it, you're actually reading into Jesus Christ. Or in another way, you could say he's reading into you. He's reading into your heart, into your soul. And so Jesus was with God in the beginning. And then it tells us in verse 3 that all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. The Apostle Paul says the very same thing in Colossians 1st chapter. He said all things were made through him. And so that's confirmation of what John is saying here. All things were made through him, and he was with God in the very beginning. In him was life, verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Well, you could say it was the life of men. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, but it's also true today. Jesus is the light of men today. He is the light that shines in the darkness. And if you can imagine this world without Jesus, can you imagine? I know some of you may not be Christians out there. You may not have confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but just think about this world and the potential for evil would exponentially increase if Jesus Christ were not in the world, if his word were not in the world, if the Holy Spirit was not here, if the church, the restraining force of evil in the world, if the church were not here, if it were taken out of the world, just imagine the darkness that would be in this world without the church, without Jesus Christ, without the Holy Spirit, without the Word of God. The darkness would just be so incomprehensible. It would just be chaos and calamity, crisis everywhere you look, and it is to some extent anyway, but it would be even exponentially worse if it were not for the light of the world. Well, I'm going to refer back to Isaiah chapter 60, and this is a chapter that's dedicated to the glory of Zion or the people of Israel. And Isaiah says in verse 60, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And the Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side." Well, the glory of Zion is Jesus Christ. The glory and the light of Israel is Jesus Christ. And you can see there's a lot of turmoil there right now, a lot of chaos. There's a war going on there in Israel and in Gaza right now. But it's because the reason for that war is because the light of the world is in Israel, is shining upon Israel, and the nations around Israel, many of them have vowed to destroy Israel because the light of the world is shining in Israel. The glory of the Lord has risen upon that nation. And so you're going to see conflict in that region. You're going to see conflict in that area for all the end of end days, all the days of the end time. You're going to see conflict there. There will not be any time at which there will not be conflict. And in the final episode of the end time, you can go to Revelation chapter 19 and see the marriage supper of the Lamb take place in heaven. After the saints have been raptured up, the saints of the church have been raptured up, you see the marriage supper of the Lamb take place in heaven. And then also Jesus is coming back on a white horse, and he's coming back to establish his millennial reign, to rule and reign on this earth with the saints who have been taken up to heaven with him. And so you see that played out in Revelation chapter 19. You can read that on your own. But the glory of the Lord is going to return, and Jesus is coming back to that land that is being fought over right now. That land, glory of the Lord, is going to return there. Jesus is going to set his feet on the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem. And so that will be the place, the platform, the scene for the end time scenario when Jesus returns to judge the earth. He'll come back with a rod in his hand and a sword in his mouth, and he's coming back with the saints to rule and reign for all eternity. Well, Isaiah goes on to say in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 19, the sun shall no longer be your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give light to you. But the Lord will be to you an everlasting light, and your God your glory. Your sun shall no longer go down, nor shall your moon withdraw itself, for the Lord will be your everlasting light. And the days of your mourning shall be ended. And your people shall all be righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. That is a picture of Zion, a glory of Zion in the future. And right after that Isaiah 60 passage of scripture, then we go on into Isaiah 61, a picture of Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, the light of the world. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me, Jesus, to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, and that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Well, this is a descriptive narrative of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon him because God has anointed him to preach. And so as Jesus came onto the earth, first as a babe, then he grew up in stature and in wisdom. He grew in stature and wisdom and strength. And then he was in the temple. The scroll was given to him in a temple, and he began to read this very passage of scripture, Isaiah 61. He read it to the people of the temple that were in there that day. And then he said, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing this very day. You can read about that, Luke chapter 4, verse 19. This scripture, Jesus said, has been fulfilled in your hearing on this very day. And so Jesus was saying, the prophet Isaiah spoke these words 800 years before Jesus came to the earth. He said, now, today is the day of fulfillment of that scripture that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Well, let's go back to John chapter 1, where we started at the beginning. And in verse 5, it says, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it or did not understand it. You think about light in your life. When you come into a dark room, the first thing you want to do is flip on the switch, get the light in the room lit. And if you don't have electricity, sometimes, many times here in Kenya, we don't have electricity. And so we use candles, we burn candles. And we also, many people here have solar, little solar systems, little solar kits that you can buy for $60, $50. And it has three or four lights and also a little charging strip so you can charge your phone and that kind of thing. And so when you have light, you feel comforted, you feel secure, you feel like you know where you're going, so you don't have to grope in darkness. The Bible says that God's word is like a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And so when you study God's word, you have a light being shined on your path. You know where you're going. You can see where you're going. You don't trip. You don't fall. You don't crash into the tree or fall off the cliff. And so the light shines your pathway out ahead of you. And so the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. When Jesus came as a babe first, King Herod tried to kill all the babies in that region because he knew that this baby Jesus, he knew there was something glorious about this babe. He knew there was something eternal and divine about this babe, and so he tried to kill Jesus along with all the other boy children 2 years and younger. And so there was a crisis, a calamity. The darkness did not understand it, did not comprehend it. They just knew, the darkness knew that it was a threat. The darkness knew that something unusual and strange was happening, and so they reacted against the birth of Jesus. And so Jesus and his family, Joseph, was given a dream and told to flee to Egypt. And they stayed down there until the death of this man, Herod, who was trying to kill Jesus. Well, let's look at verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This is John the Baptist. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all through him might believe. He was not the light. John was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And so John was out in the wilderness. He was baptizing. He was making a way in the wilderness. He was making a way for Jesus Christ. He was heralding the coming of the Messiah. And he was saying, there's one coming after me. Matthew 3:11, he was saying, there's one coming after me, and the thong of his sandals I am not worthy to untie, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And so John was giving a message of introduction, saying, Jesus Christ, there's one coming, and he is the light. There's one coming, and he will baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire. And that is exactly what happened. Jesus Christ is the baptizer. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And John said later in his ministry, he said, as he increases, I must decrease. And as Jesus Christ came onto the scene, you see John taken out, and eventually John is beheaded. And there is a conflict with the higher officials, and so John the Baptist was beheaded, and Jesus Christ then appropriately took center stage and took over as John the Baptist was removed from the ministry. John 1, verse 9. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, that is to his Jewish people, that is to the nation of Israel. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And so Jesus Christ came to his own. His own didn't receive him. They didn't understand him. He was persecuted even by his own, the Pharisees and the scribes and the legal elite, the religious elite. They persecuted him. They didn't understand him. In fact, when Jesus Christ was talking to the Pharisees, he obviously many times had a bit of disdain for them because they were religious elite, and he kept trying to get them to see that he was the Messiah, see that he was the Son of God, see that he had came to fulfill the scriptures that they were so busy searching all the time, and yet they never did really see Jesus. And it's the same today. Sometimes the religious elite can't really see Jesus, but the people who are downtrodden, the prostitutes, the drug addicts, those in prison, and those out on the highways and byways of life, they can see Jesus because they get broken. They cry out to him. They get broken. And so Jesus comes to them. He appears to them, reveals himself to them. And so that is the reason that they can see him. And many times the religious elite can't see him. Well, verse 14 here, and I'm going to close this passage of scripture. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so the word became flesh and dwelt among us. He tabernacled among us. Praise God for that. God had a plan from the beginning to send his son Jesus to die on the cross for us. God had a plan to redeem mankind back to himself. And we thank God for that plan. We thank God that Jesus Christ came and he went to the cross, took the burden of our sin upon his shoulders, and he went to the cross so that we might be free, so that we might be saved, and that we can walk in righteousness and holiness and be reconciled back to God. So turn over to John 8 in your Bible there. We're going to look at what Jesus says about himself here in this passage of scripture. And as I spoke before, many times Jesus spoke about himself. He said, I'm the bread of life. I am the resurrection. I am the light of the world. I am the beginning and the end. And so Jesus here in this passage of scripture, starting in verse 12, chapter 8, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And the Pharisees therefore said to him, you bear witness of yourself, your witness is not true. And Jesus answered and said to them, even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going, but you do not know where I come from and where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. Jesus said, I judge no one, and yet if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, for I am with the Father who sent me. And so Jesus Christ was sent by the Father. He was sent primarily to go to the cross. Jesus was obedient in every way, even to point of death on the cross. He was obedient because he knew the mission that the Father had sent him to accomplish, and Jesus was determined. He was faithful and obedient in every way to carry out the Father's will in his life. And beloved, these are some profound proclamations that Jesus makes about himself when he says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Well, beloved, if your life is full of light, if you have the light of Jesus in your life, you're going to know where you're going. If you have the light of Jesus in your life, you're going to get up each day with purpose. You're going to get up each day with great gratitude in your heart, with thanksgiving. You're going to get up each day and feel like life has hope, feel like life is worth living, feel like life is worth the sacrifice, worth the pain, worth the trials and tribulations, because this life can bear down on us and break us down, and it can become a real burden at times. The anxiety, and you look at the news, you look at things in the news, wars breaking out everywhere, financial collapse, calamity, divorce, all kinds of sickness, COVID and all kinds of other sickness, cancers and everything. You don't see a lot to be cheerful about. You don't see a lot to have joy about. But when you have the light of Jesus in your life, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Think about your life. What you would be if you didn't have the hope of Jesus in your life. Think about your life and think about your children. Think about your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. Think about what they would be without Jesus in their life, or if they don't know Jesus. Think about what they could be with Jesus in their life. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but he will have the light of life. Well, that is my prayer for you today, beloved, that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you have the light of Jesus in your life, that you have hope in your life, that you have light to light your path. You know where you're going, you know what you're doing, you know where you came from, and you know where you're going. And beloved, if you've never confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to do that today. Get down on your knees, cry out to Jesus, confess your sins, ask the Lord to forgive you. He is faithful and true to forgive you and lead you down that path of righteousness. He is faithful and true to give you eternal life. And if you do that today, let me know, pureprairie@hotmail.com. We can get some literature to help you on your Christian walk, to help you as you endeavor to serve the Lord and be obedient to His call on your life. Get involved in a Bible-believing church. Find some elders and deacons to lay hands on you, pray over you, take your confession of faith, be baptized, immersion baptism, and you will be on your way in your Christian walk, and you'll be on your way to living out that light in your life, living out that light, and your path will be bright. And I pray that is you today. As you go forward into 2024, let your light shine for the kingdom of God. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank the Lord for that. We pray that you have been blessed by this ministry. We'd like to have you support this ministry. Sit down, write out a check, let us know you're listening, include prayer requests if you have some, and you can help support this ministry here in the U.S., this radio ministry, and also help support the projects we have going in Africa. And we thank the Lord for your support, and we ask you to continue to support us in the coming year. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.